Hello and welcome to the Interior Design Business. My name is Jeff Hayward and I'm joined by my co-host Susie Rumbold, past president of the British Institute of Interior Design and creative director of Tessuto Interiors, in front of a live audience of designers at the Design Central Northwest event at Capesthorne Hall in Cheshire. So today we will be asking if trends are the interior designer's friend or foe.
Interior designers are forever being asked for their opinions on the latest trends in paint colours, kitchens, tiles, furniture styles and so on. And the supposed answers fill the pages of countless glossy style mags and newspapers, encouraging consumers to constantly update their homes. But how should we be responding to these questions? As we move away from the throwaway attitude of recent times and journey towards a more sustainable future, do trends have any part to play in the work we do and the stories that we tell? And how should we be advising our clients in this regard? Welcome to the Interior Design Business.
Now, I am delighted to say that we are joined by two Northern Design Award winners for this discussion, Helen Knox of Lewis Knox and Jen Williams from Mon Interiors. Welcome both to the show.
Thank you.
So before we get started, could you please each give us a brief introduction to yourself and your business and the type of projects that you do? Helen, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. Thank you for the invite, Jeff and Susie. I'm Helen. I'm co-founder with my husband, Simon Knox, of Lewis Knox. We're based in Cheshire. We predominantly work on high-end luxury residential projects, and we tend to have quite a friendly, like, client-focused approach with our interiors.
Yes, thank you for inviting me today. I'm Jen from Mon Interiors. We are a North Wales-based interior design studio. We work both on residential and commercial, probably about 50-50. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so let's start with you, Helen. What do we mean when we talk about interior trends?
Good question. I would probably say a trend is something that, as interior designers, we look to as a style or a movement that's enforced from sort of industry professionals, whether that's fashion, TV, the media, and it is filtered down into interior collections through fabrics, wallpapers, furniture.
And Jen, is that something that you feel consciously aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Helen said, I think a trend is, you know, it's something that's kind of popular in a given amount of time, isn't it? But it comes and goes. They can go quite quickly in this day and age. Different to a style, I would say, which is probably a bit more influenced by history, culture, that kind of thing. So, you know, in this day and age now, where we've got things like social media, you know, access to the internet, where things can just be shared so quickly, it's hard to avoid trends, yeah. Would you say? So you do have to be more conscious than ever now, I think, and trying to define, is something a trend, is it a bigger style movement? It's quite difficult, isn't it? So it is something you've got to be really conscious of and make your clients conscious of as well. Mm. So that's the challenge, I think, yeah. Isn't it?
They might come to us with a trend, but then we kind of might move them.
It's convincing them what's a trend and what isn't, yeah. And also how it applies to them as well, because I think ultimately style's a bit more about personality, trend is a bit more about what's in fashion kind of thing. And it's trying to teach your clients the difference between that and helping them to figure out what their personality and style is. So then it's easier to deter them from popular trends that we think will pass.
So how quickly do you think trends move? How often do they get updated and reforecast? You know, if I'm looking at these glossy magazines and I'm seeing the latest paint colour trends, how often does that happen?
Too fast in this age.
From an interior's point of view, I mean, we know our industry is always bringing out collections, say, twice a year. So you can say there's trends that pop up.
Yeah, and I agree.
But equally, longer lasting trends might last, say, for 5 years.
Yeah, so same. I think, again, it's just getting faster and faster, isn't it? Like, if you look back to sort of older times, I think it was probably quite normal for, you know, when it comes to fashion and things like that, seasonal trends, if not annual. And you would expect interior trends to be longer than that, given the investment that you put into them. But just looking back in 2024, there've been so many trends that have come and gone. So it seems like it's, you know, it can happen over the matter of months and weeks in this day and age, I think, especially with social media and influencers and celebs sharing things. It's really, really quick now, isn't it? Getting quicker.
One trend that I'm always aware of, in fact, I picked up on social media this week, Dulux with the paint of the year colour.
Yeah.
I mean, who is it who's in charge of these trends? Who defines who's responsible for it?
Well, it's these big industry brands. And I know there are brand forecasting companies that work with the likes of Dulux to develop the colour of the year, Pantone of the year. So I'd say it's a combination of those brands, big industry people that then forecast.
But then also you mentioned influencers. They must have a role in the forecasting of trends or the driving of trends.
I have mixed feelings about some of these, particularly the colour of the year stuff, because there's been a few years where they've determined the colour of the year, but haven't seen it anywhere. So, you know, and
exactly.
And also there's Pantone that will go in and nice stairs, and then it's completely different colour to Dulux. So I never really know, like, how much research has really gone into them. I think, and again, this is just personal opinion, that, you know, back in the day, trends were probably more determined by influential designers and architects that had quite well-renowned work. And that would then infiltrate into print. You know, how many years ago? I can't think. 20 years ago, we didn't really have social media and things. Everything was magazines. It was print, newspapers. So for people to then share a trend in that, it took more effort, didn't it? You couldn't just pop it on the internet and share it. So I think they were the people that kind of influenced what was on trend. Whereas now it's very different because we have all got access to the internet. We can, you know, I can go and post a blog post on what I think is trendy in 10 minutes. And, you know, you don't have to take any notice of it, but there's people that have big, big followings like influencers and brands that do have, you know, a lot of people following them. So if they say to do something, people are going to do it because that's just kind of human nature, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Doesn't sound particularly helpful, though, to me, Helen.
No, it dilutes everything, and our job as an interior designer gets that bit trickier because we want to filter through the trendy trends and look for something with more longevity.
A bit of depth.
Yeah.
So what else? Are there any other things that drive these trends?
I'd say definitely economy.
What about things like film and media and the sort of the broader, I never know how you pronounce this, zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist, good word, Susan.
Yeah, that was one of my words that I was going to use. You do it. Fashion as well, I think. I think fashion is still top of how it influences interiors.
And celebs. I was talking to Lauren about one on the way here. Lauren's my colleague. And we were talking about when everybody knows who the Kardashians are, don't they? Whether they love them or hate them, they know who they are. And Kim Kardashian shared her home in, I think it's Architectural Digest, maybe a couple of years ago. Do you remember seeing it?
Do.
Yeah. Loads of glass, microcement, minimal, bootleg furniture, that kind of thing. And oh my God, we have seen that absolutely everywhere.
You know, ad nauseum. Mm.
So it just shows the power of the media these days and today's media versus what was considered, you know, print media and things before. So,
and are there other examples? I mean, things like TV shows, like the Beverly Hills Netflix Dreadful Estate Agent show. I mean, I look at the interiors there and I think, are you seeing that in the Northwest?
I mean, it's a few worlds apart, isn't it?
Let's say like Beverly Hills. There's shows like Succession and really top sort of American shows that definitely, I'd say, influenced.
Mad Men was one, wasn't it? It was a key driver in the whole mid-century thing that kind of then took off like a rocket.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, what about other sort of influencers? Who would you say is really driving things on social media?
Well, I tend to stay away from influencers.
Yeah, I follow designers that I like and that's about it now because it's too easy to get caught in that rat race of, you know, what's on trend and you just get bogged down with it, don't you? I think it just stops you from having your own ideas, doesn't it?
I think for us, following designers on, say, Instagram that have a really good following, there's like Studio McGee, Amber Interiors, they've been extremely popular, say, last year and into this year.
Mm.
And that influence of American sort of modern rustic
has
definitely infiltrated over to our shop.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, Jen, I think you mentioned fashion. Can you give some examples of how perhaps fashion has influenced interior trends?
I could give you loads.
Bouclé.
Well, the bouclé, yeah, that's one of them. But another one is the whole sustainability thing. So back in 2001, Stella McCartney brought out loads of sustainable fabrics on one of the runway shows that she did. And I think that she was one of the early designers. But then from there, lots and lots of designers were bringing out all sorts of things. You see like recyclable trainers that have got recyclable soles and that kind of thing. And you can pretty much buy anything that is recyclable now. But that all came from them really sharing those fabrics on the runway. We then noticed suppliers that, I mean, they've obviously followed suit from the runway, because it's a pretty known fact that a lot of the stuff on the runway is what dictates everything on the high street. It might take a few years to hit a little bit later, but it certainly does influence it massively. Yeah, there's tons of examples. I could sit here all day talking about
colour
it.
Colour drenching was one.
Colour drenching, yeah.
You know, one catwalk show, it was all in one colour, and then that filtered into interiors where we decorate.
Monochromatic sort of design.
And then sometimes you'll get ranges, you'll get collections where perhaps they're using Mint Gentleman's tailoring fabrics or tartans, and suddenly that will have a flow through into what's being shown by the fabric designers, and therefore ends up in our homes.
Yeah, I think with the sustainable stuff as well, it's, I mean, you only have to walk into Zara last summer and they've got necklaces that are made out of rope with shells on them, wooden bangles, bags are like rattan, and you know, all that kind of thing, and it kind of matches what has been on trend with interiors as well, the whole Japandi quite luxury type thing, isn't it? So
if we accept that interior design is a combination of how it looks, aesthetics, and how it works, functionality, do trends also fall into these two categories, do you think, Helen?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say we have those sort of lifestyle trends that we see, how people use their homes and what's popular at the time. And open plan living has been huge for well into 10 years now. Is that going to carry on? Are we going to start to make smaller rooms again? That will be interesting to see how that develops.
What do you think on that, just out of curiosity?
Well, I love open plan.
Yeah.
We'll always have an open plan sort of big space at the rear of the house, and then have those little snug office spaces and lounge spaces.
Because I have so many clients saying that, like, I don't want open plan anymore, you know.
Yeah, I think
I'm bored of it, and I'm hearing that more and more.
I also think that's to do possibly with the pandemic, where people were suddenly doing everything that they ever did from home. So home's not just a dormitory anymore.
Yeah.
Home is somewhere where they've got to work, play, do yoga, the, you know, the maths tutor, whatever it might be. And so there was suddenly a requirement for smaller, more compartmentalised spaces with some acoustic separation, predominantly, you know, so that people could get on with the things they needed to do.
I'm interested in a client actually saying, I don't want open plan anymore. Are you getting that a lot? Does that happen where a client says,
I don't think open plan spaces will die, because I think just thinking about the pandemic with what you're saying there is, and again, this is just something that I've noticed, is that when the pandemic happened, everybody focused on their self-care, their mental health. They had a lot more of a sort of nurturing approach to their lifestyle, I think, for obvious reasons. But I think also now I noticed maybe in the last sort of 6 to 8 months that people are actually starting to be a bit more social. They're starting to do more. So it's interesting, because although I've got clients saying, we don't want everything open plan, I think you kind of have to have a mix in a home now, because they still need, you know, more closed off spaces for some of the reasons that you just mentioned. But also they're still going to want to socialise. And I don't know, it's interesting to see where that's going to go.
I think that was a trend though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone would literally walk into the, say, ground floor of their house and completely open it up. Whereas I think past sort of 3-4 years, we've had the rear opened up.
Yeah.
So they can have that communal kitchen living space, but then
snug cinema room
and the things for different things.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in that dynamic as well, Helen. You said, you know, a client may come to you with an idea and you sort of turn it around. Do you want to describe how that sort of conversation goes?
Well, I mean, they will come to us with their ideas. It might be images, it might be a brief saying I want it all open plan. But I think as professionals, and knowing what we know, we do need to steer them into sort of a more considered approach. And that would be, you know, don't do everything so trend-led. So filter those images a bit more, give them something a bit more timeless, but equally they can have the character of, say, I don't know, if they want a feature fabric, that's fine.
It's justifying things like that. That's probably the hardest part of our job, I would say. If they just wanted to do what we wanted to do, it would be easy, wouldn't it? It's steering people in the right direction, and you are fighting a lot when you've got everything, you know, it's the same when you say to a client, bring me some inspiration that you have seen. And then they come and they've got tons of inspiration, all from different places, all different styles. Like, nothing can be really pulled together. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's
Indeed.
Can you think of any examples of recent, more aesthetic trends?
I think what I mentioned earlier about the whole sort of American influence, especially with Netflix, having Studio McGee, a lot of clients came to us with that aesthetic.
That sort of coastal grandma.
Farmhouse.
I'm intrigued by that. What is coastal grandma?
Coastal grandma is it's modern, but it's a bit of heritage. So you might include things like, you know, maybe some handmade fabrics or you know, quilts,
chiseled
that.
Stone.
Exactly. It's sort of natural materials. Quite tunnel. It's a bit of a.
We've done a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot of
brand. Brand is open. But there's also, you mentioned British eclecticism as well. So what's that?
Well, so I think, you know, if you look at things like Studio Ashby, so that's that kind of, that very kind of interesting clashing of styles and colours. So it's, you know, quite a lot of colour in it, but it's very eclectic.
Yeah.
So that's always, that's been a big trend recently. But in the wrong hands, it just disintegrates into, you know, a mess and a bit of a pastiche. Mm. So it, you have to be incredibly skilled, I think, as a designer to really pull that off.
Would you class minimalism and maximalism as trends, Susie?
They come and go, don't they? I mean, minimalism is just somebody who doesn't own anything yet. They haven't. They haven't.
I totally disagree.
Yeah. Okay.
The Japandi scheme's been really popular as well, hasn't it? Again, I think that has been a bit of a trend because it was very Japandi to begin with, and it's kind of morphing into that sort of like warm minimalism now, isn't it?
Like you said, quiet luxury.
Yeah.
I think that's a trend.
Mm.
But I think it's going to stay for quite a while.
I think so as well, yeah. I worked on a scheme. It was the one that we won at the Northern Design Awards. And that was sort of Japandi inspired. But then, and we were a bit reluctant with the client to kind of go to sort of Helpful Leather with that style, you know, fully, because we were thinking, oh God, is it a trend? You know, is it going to die? But it also depends on the person, I think, because our client for that project is a Welsh actress / influencer. She lives and breathes sustainability, minimalism, you know, all those things that are very current at the moment. And had we have designed that space for somebody that really didn't have those values, then maybe it would be a lot more trend driven. But actually for Kerry, it was perfect. And it's probably going to suit her for, you know, many, many years to come, if not for the very long term, really, because, you know, it's in tune with her values as the way that she leads her life, what she purchases. She's a yoga instructor and a well-being type influencer. So it all worked. And I think that's the key as well, is getting to know your client. Because if I have a client that does not believe in sustainability at all, then I'm definitely going to talk them out of that kind of thing, because it's just not fitting, is it? I suppose what I'm trying to say is a trend is a trend, but if it fits the right person, then it's not a trend anymore, is it?
Yeah,
it's a style.
That's one that perhaps you could say actually straddles the divide.
Yeah.
You know, quiet luxury could be seen as a trend, but it could also be seen as something that's deeper and more lifestyle driven.
Yeah.
What about functional trends? I mean, technology and home automation is becoming more of a thing. Are there any other functional trends that you're seeing?
You've done quite a lot of this, haven't you?
Well, I've noticed more. I mean, we do a lot of home automation in our projects, and a big thing, obviously, you've touched on it earlier, was the wellness. Since COVID, everyone wants their home to be almost a wellness retreat.
Yeah.
And even with lighting, we had Alluna in the other day, and they've developed our circadian lighting products now. So the spotlights we put in will follow your natural clock. So in the morning, the hue that's emitted will be more like sunrise to help you naturally wake up. And then after you've had a big lunch, you know, it goes a lot brighter just to get you out of that sugar slump. So technology used for like that is becoming more apparent.
Which is technology kind of taking a lifestyle trend and making that real as a function, which is kind of like a morphing of the two, isn't
it? Exactly. I think it's incredible that how technology can help us with that. It blows my mind every time I see new products. So I think we'll see more of that in all aspects.
Yeah.
And is there a difference, a fundamental difference between functional trends and lifestyle trends?
100%. Yeah, I think a functional trend is determined more about how you use a space, the practical element, whereas a lifestyle trend, it's more how you, it's more of a choice, isn't it? It's how people decide to live their life and
their values.
And their values, yeah.
So sustainable values, if that's right for your client, should influence your design.
Yeah, it's exactly. The perfect space would just blend the two, wouldn't it, really?
But if it's a lifestyle trend for one person, but if we're talking about trends, surely that's got to be something that's incorporating or encompassing whole tranches of society. So is there a bigger piece underneath this where, as people are evolving the way we live, you know, those sorts of trends that are actually more fundamental to all of us, not just to an individual client and their values, are you seeing that happening?
I'm conscious that obviously we've got a generation shift and sort of Gen
Z, is it now?
I'm not sure which one we're on.
I think we're on. They're getting to the point that they're buying properties, they're all starting to rent. So I think that big sustainability shift with their mindset, which is more current than, say, the millennials, we're only going to see more.
Yeah, do you know what I see a lot of is communal living. A lot of that is popping up on my social media platforms and things now, and I think that'll be something that'll become more and more popular, because obviously with economical pressures and, you know, things becoming so expensive in this day and age, younger people are finding it harder to, you know, find somewhere to live and that kind of thing. So I think people's minds are opening up a bit more to sharing where they live, and that'll be a whole another kettle of fish really when it comes to design, because, you know, with lots of different personalities and people and things living under one roof and that kind of thing. And that, I've never really done anything like that, have you? Other than commercial, yeah. But
we've worked with developers, but again,
it's not as community based as like the communal living, though, is it? Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know how.
Are you talking about communal living, or are you talking about perhaps blocks of flats where developers are building blocks of flats, either for rent or for sale, where you have a small personal space, but then on the ground floor or other parts of the building or up on the roof, you've got gyms and cinemas and places where you can have a dinner party or, you know, shared kitchens and things like that?
I think we'll see more of that.
Yeah.
It's always carved up, isn't it, into sort of retail and leisure facilities. But
I was referring more to communal living.
Actual communal living.
Because I keep seeing these things where, you know, people are travelling so much more and it's expensive, or people might want to move out of the country and relocate, but again, it's very expensive or there's restrictions. Whereas I think that type of thing is becoming a little bit more prominent because it makes it easier. And
so they almost rent.
And then share like the gardening responsibilities and the cooking responsibilities, and it's just a completely different lifestyle.
Living again,
it is really big.
Going back to the '60s,
yeah, I'm seeing it everywhere at the moment, especially for people wanting to move out of the UK abroad. Actually, so I don't know what that says.
It's another trend.
Another trend, yeah.
Yeah. So, are trends sustainable? And if not, why not?
What do you mean, though? Do you mean sustainable for an individual themselves, or sustainable on a bigger scale?
If we think about the earlier part of the conversation where we were talking about more aesthetic trends, you know, what's fashionable this spring. So are there different types of trends that are sustainable and different trends that are not?
I think
she says leading the witness.
the most sustainable trend is probably the sustainability trend, isn't it? Because ultimately that is for the greater good, and it's something that will allow us really to be able to still have options and things when we are shopping for, whether it's at home, fashion, whatever. But having said that, and Helen, you may hopefully back me up on this one, is that it's actually very expensive to be sustainable at the moment because it's still a very new concept. A lot of the materials and things that people are supplying that are sustainable, they're not cheap.
But still, to build a sustainable house, it's still so expensive. Yeah. So a lot of our clients, they'll try and lead with that sustainable route of how to heat the home, but then when the costs come in,
that's
the first thing that's still
there. Yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done, I think, to bridge that gap between wanting to be sustainable and actually being able to, because, again, you know, it's really important that specifiers like designers and architects and things are pushing this kind of thing, but, yeah, you're working within a budget and there's only so much you can push a client to do, really, and, you know, it's one thing convincing them, but getting them to spend the money then as well is another thing, and that's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'd probably say that's the only sustainable trend. I think it's just a rat race.
Why I think the next 5-10 years, hopefully, that shift will happen, and the next generation will
be more conscious and invest that money.
I think they are, actually.
They are starting to. So
I think one of the other things about sustainability is how frequently does a client come to you and say, I want you to come and work on my house? Is it once every year when they change their mind on what they like or what they don't like? Or is it once every 5, 6, 7 years? What's the sort of natural turnover you get?
We're almost shooting ourselves in the foot.
I agree.
Once we have designed and kitted out a full house, we want that to last.
Want it to be timeless.
So then they won't come back to us for that. But luckily then we will obviously might move on to their second home or their children's homes. So we get work that way.
Yeah. Not necessarily repeat business for the same job, is it?
But I'm quite happy. I don't want to design and then in 5 years go and redo the room again.
I feel exactly the same. The one thing we've probably got in common is the whole idea of our clients hiring us as an interior designer is to offer the longevity on the projects. And that's what justifies being able to go for a certain standard. And you want them to love the house for a long time. And
Well, there might be other designers that operate at a different level that do want the repeat work, and they probably offer that. But I say for me and Jan, we don't operate at that level, and
it does feel a bit unsustainable if you are going back year after year.
I just don't. It kind of, for me, on a personal level, it goes against everything I stand for. It's just not, you know, if I'm shopping at home, I like to have a capsule wardrobe of things that I will live for a long time. It doesn't matter whether it costs me £6 or £6,000. It's, you know, it's the fact that I'm going to have something for a long time. And it will stand the test of time. And it's true to my personal style. And I think that's one of the things that I really try to push to my clients, that they need to kind of adopt that attitude, because that is more sustainable. But you're also not making too many compromises, really, because you can still live the space that you're in.
I think we portray that. And that's why we then get those clients that are happy to invest. And then the houses are done for 20 years.
Jen, I think you were just about to mention that it's different with commercial interiors. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. As I said, we work on quite a lot of commercial stuff, and it's hard fighting a trend in a commercial setting, because I personally, again, don't believe that a commercial project should be trend-led at all, if anything. Obviously, people are going to be influenced. I mean, how many restaurants now have microcement covered walls and wooden tables and rotten lampshades and things? They're absolutely everywhere, and I love that look. I think it's a great look, but is it going to offer the longevity to a business? And you might expect a business to have to have a bit of a facelift every 7 to 10 years, maybe.
Is about average,
yeah, 10 if they're lucky. But ultimately, if our approach to a commercial project would be, well, what is the brand about? What are the brand values? What is the ethos behind the brand? Who are they marketing to? Because it doesn't really matter whether something's on trend or not. If it doesn't actually align with somebody's brand values or their offering, then it's never really going to make sense to anybody, in which case people will just go there, lose interest, and never really buy into the brand story behind that business. And then, of course, for a business, when they're depending on a design for profitability and to retain customers to keep going all the time, you know, if their offering and interior doesn't make sense, then they're not going to get that. And that's when it's a very expensive mistake, because, you know, commercial projects tend to have a lot more spent on them, not only for what you're putting into them, but for the wow factor that you want to achieve, etc. And you know, if you can't get that right and offer something that a business can get a good 10 years out of and have really good profit margins, then what's the point, really? You know, it doesn't make sense. And that's the difference. I think it's got to make sense to a much bigger market than what a home does, doesn't it?
I believe that ethos, but I know a lot of commercial designers that operate at a lower level, and they'll work for big chains, and they do wrong.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
Yes,
because the brand itself is trend-led, and therefore they want something, and because they know they're going to be replacing it in 7 years, actually, do they care?
Yeah, and it's more hospitality, and it's lower price points, so I say they are very trend-led.
Yeah.
Too much, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, and how does that affect you as designers as well? Do you feel led by the trends, or do you still feel you're in control of those projects?
I just spend my life trying to fight the trends, to be honest. it's not part of my personality to be trend-driven, so I don't find it that difficult. And on a commercial space, it's even easier because the client is less attached to the project 9 times out of 10. Yeah. So you are given a little bit more free rein. So I can kind of, yeah, as I say, I don't really follow trends on social media. I try to eliminate it in any part of my life, because as soon as it is in your life, you're influenced by it. You can't help it. So, yeah, we try to fight it, really.
Interesting. What about you?
Well, I think clients come to us and mourn because we don't portray that super trendy, trend-led aesthetic.
There's a bit more consistency,
yeah,
isn't there?
I think. Whereas they probably naturally deviate to maybe a designer that does portray more trends. So we're in a lucky position.
We have one commercial client that we work for where we've done many projects for them, and they have their brand standards. And that some aspects of their brand standards, I have to say, are beginning to look very, very, very behind the curve.
Yeah.
But every time we try and push them to move it on a bit, we get the pushback saying, no, that's our brand standard. And it's like, at what point will they kind of admit defeat and go, actually, this is no longer
point,
appropriate. It's really tricky.
Yeah. From a brand point of view, you should always be assessing your brand. So they should be
evolving.
Absolutely.
Evolving.
Yes,
yeah,
they should.
That doesn't mean you're trend-driven. That's the sweet point, isn't it? If marrying up how much you've evolved.
I just hope the client never listens to this episode. I'm going to be in
We talked a little bit about Dulux earlier. I mean, do you feel other brands are really pushy about what they want you to do or what they want you to use?
Some can be, but I'd say the most successful brands and brands that we will naturally go to are those that stick to their ethos and they have a clear, consistent sort of brand message, which might be influencing a trend. I mean, we've got some favourites in the studio, and I know like Soho Home, a big company, and they've obviously got quite an eclectic, you'd say it was a trend at one point, but that's merged into a style now.
Yeah.
They've launched Soho Home and, you know, super successful. And again, like Daylesford Organic.
It's another good example.
Massive sustainability trend, but they've had that for 40, 50 years. And
that's the difference, isn't it?
It's true to them.
Key
value.
Yeah.
So do you think the Soho Home, that's an interesting one, do you think that that's suddenly going to look stale?
Well, you would say, because there's only so much brass and plush velvet.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because that's quite eclectic as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're not like sort of wholeheartedly go for one style.
Yeah, each collection they're then evolving. So I've seen they're bringing more natural materials in, which is helping. Mm-hmm. Whereas probably previously it was lots of metal and
It was almost quite industrial at one point as well, wasn't it? So,
but they will probably be working with a forecasting company on that. So in 5 years' time, they are setting the trends.
I also think they're quite clever in how they transition, because they do it very, very smoothly. Whereas if you see a business change style quite quickly and obviously, then you think,
uh-oh, they've done a rebrand. Yeah. Who are they?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you had a tip for the interior designers in this audience, embrace this trend, what would it be?
Well, don't embrace a trend, first and foremost. But I think be clear with your messaging and your values, and that can almost be your sort of trend and ethos that you move forward with.
And always listen to your client about what they want, because ultimately, I'll have my own personal style, you'll have yours. Yeah. And whilst that's important to us, it's really not that important to your client. You know, they just want somebody that is knowledgeable and has a good design eye to be able to make their ideas a reality. And as long as you can kind of hone in and get to know your client and understand what it is that they want, that will make for a successful project.
Yeah. I think also, don't you think any it's the sustainable trends. I mean, there's a really interesting trend at the moment for people suddenly using old furniture, which is just great.
Yeah.
We were at Warehouse in Chelsea Harbour, and for the first time this year, I think with one notable exception, every single room in that house incorporated at least one item of upcycled or vintage or antique furniture, and that was really encouraging to see.
Yeah,
because most sustainable thing is the thing you've already got.
Absolutely. So, Susie, over to you.
Okay, so what piece of advice would you give to designers who are trying to navigate trends to achieve the best outcome for their clients?
Navigate them. So yeah, they might come to you with a trend. You can take bits and pieces of that, but curate it into a more timeless aesthetic, so they still feel like they've influenced the design, but at the end of the day you have
steered them away.
Yeah, exactly. Something that we do with our clients is we perform little exercises to
test them to see what they like and what they don't like, because I find that lots of the times people will show you inspiration and it's either they're not looking at what you're looking at in that photo, or actually they liked it for 10 minutes and then they moved on and they go back to it and actually they don't like it anymore. So we tend to perform a few exercises where, first of all, we'll go through their inspiration and ask them if they still like these things that they picked out over the last however many months. Other times we'll ask, what have you been wearing in your wardrobe for the past 20, 30 years? Are there colours that you're drawn to? Are there materials that you're drawn to? And we start defining what their actual style is there, because a lot of people don't know what their style is. They just know what they like. And from there, we'll define their style and then we try and transition that into the interior, because then we know that whatever we're putting in front of them, they're going to live for a long time because they've been doing that anyway, kind of thing. And it also feels a bit more like them and their ideas rather than us just telling them what to do. So.
Anything you'd add to that?
No, I think that's a great example. It's kind of the same onboarding that we do, but you've said that really well.
Nailed it. Okay, so what is the funniest, the maddest trend-led thing that a client has ever said to you and insisted you use on a project?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was like the maddest, but
I struggled with one.
For us, because we're not that trend-led, I would say it's probably the most craziest, trendiest room we've done. And I was speaking to Arte earlier, and we picked out this beautiful flock Mue wallpaper, which was basically a massive rainforest theme. And this client was insistent that she wanted this whole downstairs bathroom as if you walk into an Amazonian rainforest. So we said, right, okay, we'll test you. We cloaked all of the rooms in this sort of velvet flock wallpaper. It was incredible. Not only did we do that, then we did climbing monkeys up it, and then on the PIR sensor, as soon as clients walked in, rainforest sounds were emitted. So you were definitely
immersed
into this like rainforest theme. So that's the most themed room I will share with you.
I've never really done any themes like that, not on a residential project anyway. So yeah, I'm a bit boring when it comes to answering this one, but I don't think my clients there ask me to do it.
I often wonder if a client said to you, oh, can I have a room like the Game of Thrones throne room or something?
No. No, you can't.
Thank you so much for your time today, Helen and Jen. It's been the most fascinating conversation, and I think everyone in the audience, including me, has learnt loads.
Yeah, really good, really good, really funny as well. I love the Amazon rainforest. I'm going to do my bathroom when I get home. Thanks to you too, our live audience, and our hosts at Design Central Northwest for their hospitality. We do hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please do get in touch on our social channels at Interior Design Business Pod to share any feedback. The Interior Design Business is a Wildwood Plus production.